Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, author of the upcoming book, Prayer Prescriptions, Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health, and also the host of the show. Tonight, we are celebrating 3 years of having this radio show, and joining me is Amy Flynn, a.k.a. All About Energy, and you can reach her on thecallofyourbeing.com and moneyreikihealing.com. Amy was with me to celebrate 2 years last year, so we are making a tradition of this. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Amy Flynn. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Kate. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I can't believe it's 3 years.
No, I certainly can't, but then again, time has really been a warp. Time goes on, it is warping.
Yes.
And you certainly have been on the forefront of letting people know about that.
Yes, it has been. It's been speeding up. It's not really that it's speeding up. It's our experience of it is speeding up. It's linear time is just really dissolving. The concept of linear time, the feeling of linear time, actuality of linear time, and we're moving into one moment, you know, the experience of one moment of the present moment. And so when that happens, as the linear time dissolves, it seems like it's moving faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
certain rhythms actually have increased, like the Schumann resonance of the earth, and certain rhythms within the cosmos have actually increased also. So it's an interesting time to be here, to be in body, to be alive. It's really a big celebration of a very exciting thing that, you know, happens every so many millions of years. And it's just very exciting.
Now,
very exciting.
I know we've talked about this before, but as this is happening, this shift is occurring where there is more consciousness raising, there is a strange thing going on with government, you know, or with the powers that be, with corporations, that seem to be clutching more intensely with punitive actions and so forth. And I know we've talked about that before, but how is that playing out? And it just seems like it's getting more clutchy.
Think of it like death throes.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a wounded animal and you go to try and help them, you go up and try and approach them, they're going to lash out at you. They're going to be thrashing about on the ground. So you can kind of liken it to the energy of these death throes and thrashing about. And in the thing with these organizations, these governments and whatever is they're frequency is of a lower frequency than what the planetary frequency is now and what the culture is awakening into.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of out of water. You know, they're like a fish out of water. They're out of their element, and they might not be able to point and say, well, it is because our frequency isn't blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe some of them can. Some of them might be aware enough, but the majority of them aren't. They just know that things aren't feeling right, or they feel very stressful. And so the only way that they've ever known to take care of anything is through control and dominance, domination.
Yes.
So, of course, they're going to do more of what they know, even though where we're moving and the growth that we're experiencing and the evolution that we're experiencing is moving us into a place where that is no longer even efficient, effective, or something that's going to work.
Right.
But that's all they know.
Well, you can certainly see it and feel it, just this clamping down. Because, you know, I'm in the world of still pretty much and in the world of, you know, the corporate world and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I believe that there are glimmers of recognition, I would call it, where they are coming to some sort of recognition that even if they're paying lip service to it, but there is this recognition that cooperation is better than competition and that people thrive better in harmony and this sort of thing. And you can feel that that is coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any examples?
Well, let's see. Yeah, at work, I would say that, I mean, there's still a lot of ego and people, you know, hanging on to their so-called belief system in medicine and that kind of thing. But
mm-hmm.
but we all know that medicine and alternatives and people are going more and more towards integrative medicine, and the people are responding to this energy much better than the corporate world or the presidential, you know, that's going on in Washington. This current debates with the Republicans are so absolutely absurd. And
doesn't it kind of remind you like kindergarten? You can't
yeah.
have my blocks. These are my blocks. I want your blocks. I'm going to hide your blocks. Na, na, na.
I know. And it is unbelievable, really. And at one time, people might have gotten more upset about it, but in reality, it's just laughable.
Yeah. It's like entertainment. It's kind of sad when you sit and think, well, these are the selection that we have. We're being given, you know, for someone to govern our country, and look how they're behaving. You know, you can kind of like be a little upset if you look at that. But truly, it is. It's entertainment, and it's laughable, and it's as good as any reality show that's on television, I'd say.
We could call it
electionality. That's not a bad name, actually.
No, it is not.
Yeah, maybe I'll trademark that. No taking my name now.
Right. I think that it is a lesson in so much and just the, you know, everything is blurring. And I know that there's more of an energy of love in the atmosphere than there ever was.
Yeah. Well, source, you know, our true nature is pure love. It's pure. It's not loving. It is love. Love the force. Love the energy. And mm-hmm. it's got nothing to do with how we use the word on Earth and have used the word in the third and fourth dimensional language and life that we've been living here. It's if you think, you know, there's a force we call life force that flows through the body and makes the body alive. Well, that life force is really love force. Everything is made of love. Love is a wonderful, beautiful, high-frequency energy. And as we evolve and as we move into the higher dimensions, as we ascend, some people call it, and move up and I want to clarify something. We're not really moving into dimensions that we're not already in. What mm-hmm. we are is becoming aware and aligning our conscious awareness and being with these higher frequencies so that we are now aware of them, that we can allow them to express consciously through us.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been there. It's like, it's kind of like, well, that part's kind of been like, you know, turned off or not illuminated or something. It's hard to describe, but, you know, a lot of people think that we're moving. We've always been a multidimensional entity. We've always been that. It's not that all of a sudden now we're you know turning into something other than what we are. It's just that we're becoming consciously aware and able to experience more of our multi-dimensionality. That's really what's happening. And our true nature is very much love. And what's happened in some of last year was very, very instrumental for a lot of these high frequencies to make themselves known, to become available to us here, and for the Earth herself to align with these frequencies and for us to align with these frequencies, and the frequency of love, the frequency of, it's called also known as the Christ consciousness, became available to us last year, during the 11/11 portal and then 11/21/11 also strengthened that. And these energies are energies that are represented and they carry their own geometries. If you're able to see or intuit geometries at all, you would sense that more geometries are present and available to know. What I want to point out is that because this energy is now here, and 2012, before 2012 arrived, I got a really, really clear knowing that 2012 is the year of love. Not the year of I love you, Earth love, but the year of this Christed consciousness love frequency. And everything in 2012 is resonating at this frequency. It's like the heart of 2012 is this frequency. And also, when I realized that no matter what happens in 2012, because there's going to be some interesting things that happen, and both in a cultural way, in a cultural level, familial level, our society, the world level, and also a personal level. So there's going to be all sorts of interesting things that are going to happen and show up, and the way to greet everything is with love, with the love vibration. And because there's nothing that's showing up in this year that is not of this vibration. If we're not seeing it that way or experiencing it that way, it's because of our perception, which is not aware enough yet.
Yeah, so I'm reminded of the Christ consciousness and of the gospel of Jesus, which was pure. His gospel, his ministry was love. And it feels like that perhaps the time has come for people to receive that actual ministry into their consciousness, whether they equate it with Christ consciousness or with Jesus or whatever or not.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's many, many ways of awakening to this Christ consciousness and awakening to love force. And you know, that's something that people are drawn to and they feel they want to align with and serves them. You know, it really is what serves the individual. Because even though we are all the same and we're all one of one, we are very individual. So what resonates with one person and appeals to one person might not resonate or appeal to another. I mean, for somebody else, attuning to and really resonating at the frequency of love consciousness and Christ consciousness might be going and sitting in the middle of the woods, you know, and going and sitting there for like a week or so, you know, or something that way. For others, it might be going and eating very differently, going on fasts or extremely different type of diets, you know, food intake than they were eating before. So everyone's different, and what's really, really cool is that every way is perfect, every single way. And what's really wonderful is that we can honor every way, and we can honor each other's choices. And so if one way is better for, you know, us, then we use that. That's what we're going to be drawn to. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely, just anything, really anything. It's really unlimited. That's another thing. is that, mm-hmm. you know, unlimited, the unlimited nature of us. We are unlimited. We are unlimited beings. And our nature is that unlimited. And we've lived so long believing and living as if we were limited. And now we're just throwing that, those shackles off and throwing off that those veils and those blinders. And we're realizing that there's an unlimited expression that we are. And we're really mm-hmm. stepping into it. And sometimes we step into it a little, you know, with a little bit of, you know, caution and whatever, but we're stepping into it. And it's just wonderful. It's just absolutely wonderful. It's wonderful to see, and it's wonderful to experience, and it's just an amazing time to be here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I find the Occupy movement to be very, very interesting.
Yes.
And they're about to have their own national convention in July.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So something very exciting is about to evolve because they are so grassroots and they're all so much for what's right and good in terms of the people.
Right, right. So what is this that they're doing in July? What's this national convention that they're having? What is the purpose of it?
I think they want to put up a political person to run for president or maybe put forth their ideology to influence the platforms that are out there by our so-called leaders. Sorry. And
our so-called comedians, how's that?
Yeah, really. So I believe that this is, I've heard that this is going to happen, and I guess July is the time it will happen. So keep an eye out for that. It should happen sooner, I think, but it doesn't matter because time is irrelevant.
Right.
It's going to happen, and before we know it, it will be happening.
Well, that's fascinating. I love that. I think that's wonderful. I can't wait to see what shows up in that space. Yeah. That's wonderful. And you know something? When I said that about the comedians, I just thought, what a wonderful idea. Do you realize what a great job the comedians of the world would do running the countries? It would be fantastic. And they would have so much fun doing it, and we'd all be laughing. I mean, can you think of anything better?
John Stewart.
I don't think so.
John Stewart for president.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
Why not? And Steve Martin. I mean, can you imagine?
Yes.
What a gem he would be. He'd go stick those silly antennas on his head and go off to meet the other leaders, you know?
and Billy Crystal was good the other night. He did a great job on the Academy Awards. The Oscars.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we could have a wonderful, wonderful group of these leaders, you know, a whole cabinet made up of them. I don't know if they'd ever really, you know, say anything serious the whole time they're there and get much done. I'm sure the world would be in a much better state, though.
I know.
Even if they didn't, you know. I could just imagine the meetings. They'd all be shooting rubber bands at one another, you know.
You know, that would be so much more inspirational.
It would. It would be
so
refreshing.
Yeah.
Could you imagine them stepping out of Air Force One, you know, in China to meet the president of China or whatever he's called. And, you know, and the president of the U.S. shoots a rubber band at him or uses a pea shooter. Gotcha.
Yes.
I mean, it would just be wonderful, and it would make for such a great vibration, you know, of the world. It would just be wonderful. It'd be great. It'd be a real, true, childlike, source-like vibration.
I would really like to see the end of all nuclear weapons.
Yes, and I think that we will. I think that we will. It's just, you know, are we going to see them this year? Are we going to see them next year? I don't know.
I think that's the most important thing that we could do as a society in America is to stop the hypocrisy. If we're asking Iran to get rid of whatever their nuclear programs, then we need to do it too.
Yes, exactly. And not just us, but the other countries in the world. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
you can't have leave some with nuclear weapons and some not. The interesting thing is, I really don't think that anyone on the Earth would use them because they know what the ramifications of using them are. So unless you have somebody, but the thing is, if you have somebody that's a little off balance and not in touch with, you know, reality and think, oh, well, I'm, you know, and someone who is an egomaniac, megalomaniac type of person, and these weapons exist, they could very well decide that they're just going to show everybody and launch a few.
Sure.
So, yeah, but I don't think anybody who is, you know, semi-rational, I don't know if the politicians are rational, but would do anything. It just, you know, I just can't see that. I don't see that. So
no,
they're really
I just
existing more as a threat.
Right. I just want to tell the people in the chat room that Amy Flynn is my guest of MoneyReikiHealing.com and TheCallOfYourBeing.com. And we're celebrating 3 years on the air of Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. So welcome, everybody. And the chat room is working. We're very happy about that. So
oh, people, excellent.
Yeah, please write in questions or call 347-205-9200. And we would love to have you call in and answer some questions or from Amy and the Collective. You know, Amy, we were talking about how important animals are. And little Pearl is lying here beside me, my new little sidekick, literally.
Yes.
And, she just woke up to look at me. Oh, my gosh. What
I think,
a beautiful
I think that is
creature.
Wonderful that she came into your life when she did and as she did. And she was just, you know, meant to do so when her timing was just perfect. Absolutely perfect. And absolutely, animals are... They're beautiful, loving teachers. And if we, humans, can interact with them as teachers and allow them to show us their loving nature, the loving nature of Source, the beingness, the presence that they have, they can really, really teach and guide us on our path this year. It's just so often that human beings want to boss the animals around and think that they know better than the animals, whereas many, many times, and especially now, the animals are much more in tune than the humans are. And the animals,
right.
they're wonderful. They're just little beings vibrating at this love frequency, and they're so present in every moment. They really are.
Oh, yeah, totally in the moment.
Right.
This New World Library book came to me through, I'm doing interviews with New World Library now on this radio show, and they sent me this book called Your Dog is Your Mirror. And I got it as the very day that Tom and Guthrie went to get the dog, Pearl. And so cool, I got this book, and I was reading it because it said it was some sort of, I thought, well, my gosh, I don't know much about a puppy. It's been about 10 years since we've had a puppy. And Yuli was an unusual puppy because he was so calm. And so is Pearl. So Pearl is also very calm. But I read this book, and he has a whole different attitude about how to train your dog. It's out of pure love, you know, the whole thing. He's saying that they are our mirror. And when they act out, it's because of our own inner emotional thing that needs to be worked on. And and so she comes home, and I was working that weekend, so I sleep during the day, and she was stretched out next to me, and I woke up and I with a start, and she was staring at me, boring. It was like she was lying with her arm above her head, her eyes wide open, just staring at me. And I stared at her, and I thought, wow. That is it. Not only is your dog your mirror, but I was her mirror, too.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that cool? It's really, really cool.
It is.
It's really cool. I mean, it's you and Pearl are different aspects of Source. and different expressions of this one love consciousness. You're both the same. You're both of the same consciousness. You're both of the same source, the same one. It's just that you're different expressions, different unique expressions, because she's unique in her dog expression and you're unique in your human expression. And when you come together and you interact and be together, you create a third unique interactive expression. So it's really, really cool. And can you see, just by thinking about that, how the infinite, limitless opportunities for expression and knowing itself that Source
mm-hmm.
has created? I mean, just with
mm-hmm.
you and Pearl, there's an infinite number.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
More people,
it's such a brilliant plan
yeah.
that Source put
it is. It is. More and more people are really understanding this about their animals. And, some people might just think that a dog is just a dog. And
mm-hmm.
I know that they still do think that. And I think it's because they mistake the fact that you have to take care of them. You have to feed them. You have to make sure they're out of harm's way. You have to, you know, make sure they get their shots and, you know, make sure that they're not getting sick, or as in the case of Ulysses, when he got cancer, I took care of him for, you know, as long as it took. Unfortunately, I'm so sorry that he had a pass, but you know what? He's still here.
He's very definitely here. I can feel his energy.
He's still here.
Yeah. Absolutely,
so I do,
he's here.
Yeah,
wagging
he
his tail.
So,
wagging
yeah.
his tail. It's like I can see him wagging his tail.
He approves of Pearl. In fact, it's not that. He actually was instrumental in getting her here. So it's just unbelievable. Do you believe in reincarnation?
Absolutely. And yes, animals
uh-huh.
are reincarnated. Because I know that you mentioned that on your prayer blog about Pearl. And they don't necessarily have to look like the animal that they're reincarnating as, because
uh-huh.
I mean, I've had experiences with cats reincarnating, and it was so absolutely clear that
mm-hmm.
this cat, this little kitten that was 4 weeks old, that latched onto me, literally latched onto
uh-huh.
me. I took it out of the cage and it hooked onto me. I would not let go. It wouldn't let go. It said, "This is where I'm going." And it just looked at me and looked into my eyes and grabbed on and literally then went to sleep. the kitten affected me so much that I ended up having to get the kitten. And what I noticed right away is that this kitten that looked nothing like the big black Persian that I had an amazing spiritual relationship with, a very telepathic
mm-hmm.
relationship, an amazing relationship. And it was
mm-hmm.
like my animal soulmate. And this little kitten looked nothing like that at all. Different coloring, different mix of breeds. I mean, that was a Persian. This is a short hair. And this was part Siamese. And it just very, very different. But I couldn't stop calling the kitten by the other cat's name.
Right.
And then the kitten would also, interestingly, even though that wasn't the name that I named the kitten would respond to the other cat's name. Its own. But it responded to his. Now, what was really odd is other people in my family that knew the other cat. Now, when this kitten was now 6, 8, 10 months old, and so you could really see it had its own, personality. When anyone in my family saw it, they called it by the name of the other cat. And I'd say, "No, that's not him. That's this one."
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny.
And yeah, it was funny because it was just so cool. I could call him. And the joke was the name that I gave this kitten, that
mm-hmm.
the kitten told me his name was. It was like the name popped into my head. It was like the kitten announced himself and said, "My name is." So
mm-hmm.
that's the name the kitten had. But when the other cat, whose name was Max, was alive, I used to tease him and say, "Oh, Max, you just love me so much. You just, whenever I just, talk to you or call you, you just come running over." I said, "I could call you Sam." And you'd come over, and I used to tease him and call him Sam. Call him Sammy.
Uh-oh.
The name of the kitten, the name the kitten chose was Samson, Sam, Sammy. And yeah, I mean, it was just, the whole thing was amazing. And as the kitten grew and matured into a cat, he totally exhibited the personality of Max and basically picked up where Max left off.
Mm-hmm.
Very loving, very, telepathic relationship, the same thing. And it was really, it was just so clear that this cat,
yes.
this little kitten, was Max. And again, they look nothing alike, nothing. So, because I noticed that you had noticed, because Pearl resembled your other cat that you had, Gracie Slipper, I think her name was, right?
Yeah, little doggy, yeah.
Yeah.
Gracie Slippers.
Right. So you felt that because she looked like her, that was indicative of the fact that she was a reincarnation of her. And that's not necessarily
so.
You know
what? In reality, Pearl doesn't really look like Gracie Slippers at all.
Oh.
But in a way, she just has these mannerisms that resemble Gracie Slippers. She has that sweetness that was
right.
Totally Gracie Slippers. And I don't really think I ever met a sweeter dog than Gracie Slippers. And now Pearl is really, really sweet. So.
Yes, yes. Well, the thing that's really cool, just like people, you know, animals will reincarnate, and they do have bonds, not just with other animals, but with humans. So it's likely that Pearl, Gracie Slippers, and whomever else this dog reincarnated as, you know, before, has been with you many lifetimes.
Yes.
This isn't the first time. This isn't the first lifetime. So you get to have
no.
it twice in this lifetime. That's a really big,
that's
a gift.
Pretty cool.
It's wonderful, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think Makunda the dog also figures into this in a very unusual way, because I was gazing into his eyes, a picture of his eyes, and I asked him what we should do about a dog, because I know it was seemed as soon by the world standards to get another dog. And the very next day, the whole thing with Pearl evolved, and she does act like Makunda too. She does. She's a herd dog. She herds us around, and she has an intensity, but she is very sweet. She's not quite as intense as Makunda was as a puppy. He was so
mm-hmm.
intense. It's quite a handful. So I think in a way he has figured into this whole thing too, in a very unusual. It's like I think there's some soul groupings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Why not? I mean, in our soul groupings, you know, they're also animal souls also. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, why not? Absolutely. Why
mm-hmm.
not? It's entirely possible. And I think it happens all the time. And, you know, when people have a very close relationship with an animal and the animal transitions out of body, that's not the last that they're going to experience of this animal, not only in energy, but also,
mm-hmm.
you know, in another incarnation.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just animals live shorter lifetimes than we do. So it's very likely that we're going to, especially if we have a strong soul relationship with the animal, that they're going to come in and out of our lives multiple times.
Now, do you have Samson still, or do you have another cat?
No, Samson passed on. So,
mm-hmm.
no, at this moment, I don't have another cat. But, you know, and basically my theory has always been that the animals that have been in my life, I've always let them find me and adopt me, kind of
mm-hmm.
the way that Pearl did. I think she found
mm-hmm.
you. And that because the animals have more wisdom and are tuned into the higher frequency and presence, and you know, the present moment, more so than we are. We're in our heads a lot. And so when we
yeah.
go to look, you know, for an animal, what are we're in our mental conversations. We're in what we're thinking as opposed
right.
to just being present. So the animal really is the one that makes the wisest choice, and the animal is the one that's going to recognize us before we recognize them, because we're so in our head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always
mm-hmm.
better to let the animal choose. Let the animal show up to you. You know, let the animal choose you. And you'll know
yeah.
which one's choosing you. You really will.
Oh, yeah.
They make it clear.
They definitely do. They definitely do.
Yeah.
And it's so clear. The whole thing of Samson naming himself, it's just really adorable.
Yeah, yeah. And what's so interesting is Samson, this was actually in a pet store. And I normally would never get an animal from the pet store, but it was right next to the vitamin store I went to, and I'd love to go in there, and I'd love to pet the little cats. And the owner always let me take them out of the cage. I would go, like, right, you know, as they were closing, and so she would basically close up the door. And I'd take them all out, and I'd put the little kittens on the floor and let them romp about. And this one was the tiniest one. He was like, you know, I thought he was the runt of the litter, but it turns out he wasn't even from the same litter. And
uh-huh,
he was literally
uh-huh.
too young to even be there. He was only about 5 weeks, 4 or 5
yes.
weeks old. Yeah, and he shouldn't really have been in there. I don't know where he came from or how he got there, but all he did is, and his eyes were still blue. They hadn't changed color yet, and all he did is take one big look at me with his eyes open real wide. That was it. He climbed right up onto my lap, curled up, latched into me with his little, you know, claws, and went to sleep, and that was it.
Oh, my gosh, and how long was he with you? Forever.
How long? He lived until he was about 11 or 12. I think he didn't live that to like a really old age for a cat. Cats can live older. And
yes,
there's a couple of things that broke his heart. And
were they?
Well, when I had him, I made a choice to go live at a monastery and I couldn't take him. So I actually had to give him up. And I tried to find him a good home. He was a very unusual cat in that he was a healing cat, which is just not, you know, considering that I'm a healer.
Yeah, that's not unusual. Yeah.
Right, not at all. But his mission, he loved to, we would go to the they're not retirement homes, they're like the hospice homes where the people were, you know, very ill.
Yeah.
And he would go in there, and he hated the sounds of the wheelchairs on the loud floor. That he didn't like at all. But I'd carry him in, and I'd put him down, and he knew exactly what to do. He would just go trotting off, and we would find him all the time on the bed with the most terminal person, the person that was going to be leaving their body next.
Oh,
he would just lie
sweet.
There and let them pet him and comfort them, and he would spend time with them, and he would go from one to the other, and he would always spend the longest and stay with the one that was going to be leaving next. And no one told him to do that. Yeah, no one told him to do it or taught him to do it. He just did it. I mean, you put him on the floor, and he went off. And the first time, we didn't know where he went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just amazing, amazing animal. And so he was very, very sensitive. And he also, because I raised him since he was 4 weeks old only, he thought I was his mom. So he thought he was a person, a human. He didn't know he looked different than me and was a cat. So the first time he saw himself in a mirror, he got extremely upset. He kept turning his head away. He wouldn't look at himself.
Oh,
he thought he
was
I guess in his mind, he looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to see this thing in the mirror, he had no idea what it was. He didn't. It was upsetting to him.
Oh.
I would pick him up and I'd hold him and I'd show him. He turned his head. You know, eventually, he kind of like took to it and began to figure out that maybe that was him and that other cats were, you know, like him. It was quite interesting, you know. That's one of the disadvantages of you know, raising them from being that young. And he was just so attached to me. And I mean, I taught him. I would talk to him, and he would learn just from my speaking English. I didn't have to say things to him more than once. He understood perfectly, perfectly.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant animal. Yeah.
A very brilliant animal and very special. But because of this special bond, when I went off to, you know, spend time in the monastery, I think it broke his heart. I think he thought that he was being abandoned. And I found him, you know, a very loving woman, I guess you could say, young woman. And he stayed with her, and he lived there. And there were also other cats in the house, so he had, some to play with. But he was her only cat. And so she was devoted to him. And, you know, he also had some other cats to play. But he started to exhibit, you know, some behavioral issues of being very upset and depressed. And so ultimately what I did is I ended up leaving, you know, there after a while, and I ended up coming up to Connecticut. I had been living in Florida when I had him. And before I did, I made arrangements while I was still at the monastery to have him come stay up here with someone that I knew up here who, she literally took in cats and dogs from all over the place that, you know, were mostly older or sickly ones that, you know, needed a lot of medication, that type of thing, and a lot of attention. And ones that the owners couldn't care for anymore. And so she would take them in. Or owners where the owners had passed on and the animals were left. Mm-hmm. So Samson went to a full house, and Samson immediately took over as helping. He took over his helping and healing, and he would sit with, you know, animals so that they would be calm to take their medicine. I mean, Sue, that was the name of the woman, told me he was amazing, absolutely amazing. And she said he was so good. He was just amazing. Even when he was first getting used to being there, he knew which animals needed comforting, and he would go sit with them.
Very sweet.
Amazing. Just an amazing, amazing being of consciousness that cat was. So, and then we got to reunite, you know, when I came back up to the area. So that was nice.
At first,
he wouldn't talk to me. He was very angry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
he'd
do that.
I walked in to see him. Yeah, and I talked to him. He turned his head. He wouldn't even look at me. Not happy at all.
And then he said, okay.
Yeah, well, after I talked to him, you know, he loved me so much, and, you know, I loved him. And after I talked to him and sat there and talked to him with him refusing, turning his back to me for half an hour, he finally decided, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Aw. You just have to love them.
Yes. They're very special, and they are truly teachers. In our lives, and they can show us so much, you know, if we allow them to, about the loving nature of Source, the wisdom, the all-knowing, the loving nature, and being present, fully present in this one moment. I mean, they're just fantastic for that.
Yes, they are. It's amazing how they kind of tune you into a channel of aliveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed when Yuli passed, it was very quiet, and I spent long days here without a dog, and I thought after a while, well, this is ridiculous. I mean, there's so many animals that need homes that there's no reason why I should wait and just kind of live without the beautiful presence of an animal.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. So.
No. The only reason would be something that you decided, you made up, so...
Yeah, made up, right.
Yeah.
So there's no reason at all to think, well, you know, I heard, you know, you hear people say, well, it was the dog died and it was very sad and I can't get another dog. Well, that's fine and that's what they made up, but I just couldn't live without another dog. So I don't think I ever will be able to.
Well, yeah, I think that's wonderful. Yeah. Dogs have been very special in your life. They've carried a very special energy for you. And the energy of the dogs has been very instrumental in your personal expression and evolution. And they're very intertwined with you. So it's definitely honoring you to allow yourself to have another dog, because you have to allow yourself to receive the presence of another dog. If you don't allow yourself that, you won't be able to receive the dog. So
That's right.
The dog can be there forever, but if you're not allowing the dog to be present for you, then you're just going to not even see the dog, as if the dog wouldn't even be there. So,
yeah, I mean,
the bonds between humans and animals are very beautiful, just very, very beautiful. They are magical. They are very much a tool for evolution. And I would love to invite every single person in the world, and especially those listening now and listening, you know, to the recording, to actually embrace this view, to embrace this possibility that your animals are not merely just animals, but that they're angels of Source. They're beings of light that have come forth in their little furry bodies to cohabitate with you here now so that you can evolve.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Isn't that cool?
I believe that 100%. Yeah, 100%.
The animals don't need to evolve. They've already been there. They're perfect. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They may have even been humans in some life and decided to hang out as a dog in this life.
I don't know.
And there might be a lot of lives that we're living at once and that kind of thing.
Oh, there very definitely are. There are many, many, many dimensions and parallel lives. And, yeah, that's a hard one for the human mind to get around, because the human mind is so, the ego is so focused on, I am me, and I am a soul entity, and I am a separate being, and this is what I am. I mean, to actually really grasp that you are like, it's like if you had a like one of those fast slicer and dicers that makes really, really thin slices.
Yeah.
It's like you're the carrot, and something has gone and sliced many, many, many thin slices, shaving a thin slice here, a thin slice there, and you're all the slices are all you. The only
mm-hmm.
thing is when you only are knowing because of mental consciousness, because of the mind, your slice, but the whole carrot's still you.
Well, reincarnation couldn't possibly be true as we understand it because it is based on linear time.
Uh-huh.
Linear time just doesn't exist. So it
mm-hmm.
has to be another way, a framework to look at it.
It's like all your selves are living now. What you call
yeah.
your past selves, what you call your future selves, are all living now. And then there's parallel realities in which all of your past selves and future selves are living. So the number is huge. It's a massive number. And, all time is happening right now in one
mm-hmm.
moment, in a simultaneous moment. So that means that the Big Bang and the formation
yes.
of matter is occurring right now as we sit here experiencing what we see as the year 2012. So it's really, it's fantastic when you think about it. It really
mm-hmm.
is fantastic. It's like one very big simultaneous moment because we're so stuck in our because of our minds to have to see things in a, you know, as in a way that we can conceptualize as size, as linear time, you know, future, present, going from here to there,
mm-hmm.
Or future, past, I should say, so that it helps to kind of envision it as like one giant moment, like a big
yeah.
circle. And in that circle is everything. It holds everything that ever was, will be, or is.
Mm-hmm. And an animal gets you in tune with that reality in a way,
yeah.
or at least that's how I see it. I have a hard time really tuning into that reality without a dog. So, I mean,
so for you,
yeah,
for you,
yeah,
the dog,
yeah.
the dog, the animal is the conduit.
Yeah.
It's the I guess you could say the channel way, that the conduit, the pathway that works for you. For someone
yeah.
else, the experience of being with an animal could be totally different, but it's still an enlightening experience. It still is bringing them into the one moment of now and bringing them to a space of peace. But for someone else, the experience could be different. For another
mm-hmm.
aspect of you, it could be different. So, you know, it's just fantastic. The one thing that we know for certain, that we can be assured of, is that each individual experience is individual unto us and not experienced by someone else anywhere. And we could see evidence of this, and I'll get that in a moment. But there is no reason for source consciousness, all that is, to create more than one of any experience.
Mm-hmm.
Source wants to
mm-hmm.
experience diversity. Source wants to experience the many in, you know, as the one.
Mm-hmm.
And the many also meaning the many experiences, the multitude of possibilities. So there's no need to have more than one of anything. No, that's counterproductive. So
that's
your
right.
experience is 100% unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, if all humans could grasp that and embrace that concept on the planet,
mm-hmm.
we
mm-hmm.
would have a lot more peace on this planet because we'd realize that someone standing right next to us, their experience is completely different from ours. And for us to try to impose our beliefs and our experience of the moment on them is utterly ludicrous.
Right.
So,
right.
yeah. Now, I'll give
that
you, here's
sense.
Some easy evidence to see how different we all are. I know that everyone's
yeah.
had this experience. Have you ever gone to a movie with a group of people?
Sure.
Right. I think everybody has had that experience of going to a movie or going to a particular event or something with a group of people. Now, what's really cool about a movie is you go into a movie theater, you go and you sit in seats. So it's not like you could say, well, someone's moving around and standing over there and someone's mingling over there and talking to that person. So that's why experiences are different. No. Everyone's sitting in the same seats, and they're usually sitting in seats right next to one another. So they've got the same perspective pretty much.
Yeah.
And they're looking at and interacting with this movie projected on the screen in front of them. So they're all suspending reality, their reality, so to speak, and interacting with this movie. The end of the movie, 10 people come out of the movie that have gone together, there's 10 different movies that they saw.
That's so true. That is
it's
so true.
It's absolutely true. It is so true. It's funny when you think about it. But, you know, you got 10 people and they go to talk about the movie. I didn't see that. Where did you see that? That didn't happen. Did you see, what about this part? Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and somebody heard something you didn't hear. But a lot of it is, evaluated based on your past and your different kinds of things that have happened to you. So that
those are the filters through which we experience our experience, and everybody's filters are different. But the actual experience is due to the different perception, the different uniqueness of you as an expression of source. You are an expression of source, and there's no expression of source like you. And no expression of source can experience anything in the world exactly as you can. You have a unique experience and a unique perspective. And that's why that you can take 10 people to the same movie, have them sitting, you know, relatively almost like in the same spot, and they are not going to have the same experience.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, really. It does say a lot about reality, people's reality.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the issues always show up for us and in our world is when we forget that and we operate as if everybody is seeing and living and experiencing the same things that we are.
Right.
And they're, they're not. They're not.
No, they're not. I know. It's a real exercise in diversity.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly why we exist. That's why the many slices of the one exist, diversity. And diversity and the multitude of experience and experiences that can be had by diversity. So it's diversity in of the one, diversity in the one as many, and the many as one. And see,
well,
what's happening
as
we evolve, what are we remembering? What are we coming into connection with? That we are one.
Yes, now
that's
that
what
is
evolution
the,
is. Can you see how it works?
Fascinating. Yeah, I can see that.
We have the carrot. We're the big carrot. We slice into, you know, infinite number of little thin slices. We scatter the slices out to all have their own experiences. Each slice has no idea that they're part of the, that they're really the entire carrot. They're part of the carrot. They carry the characteristics of the carrot, but they look at another slice next to them, which is of the same carrot, but they can't see that it is, and they think it's different, separate from them, and something they need to protect themselves from and fear. And, you know, as we evolve and we wake up, we're beginning to recognize that that person over there, that slice over there, is of the same carrot that we are. We're one carrot. Look at that. We're just sliced up into many. And we're standing there. When we look at another person, we're actually looking at ourselves and ask another aspect of ourselves. And it's just phenomenal. So you can see that when you think of it that way, if you're a visual person, you can kind of begin to see the cyclical nature of evolution. And what's really cool, everything runs in cycles. Everything is cyclical. And source is a cyclical energy. All energy moves in cycles, in like a spiral. It's a spiraling upward because there's always an evolutionary, expansionary momentum. So you have like this energy. You can think of it like a vortex, but not a wildly spinning vortex. But just you know, this energy that looks like it's circling around, but it's really not because it comes around to the same point. It's actually higher, and that's really how the energy of evolution unfolds, and that's how the energy flows within us and everything that exists. It's a spiraling upward. This whole thing is just fantastic. I mean, we're at a point where we have, it's like the door has been opened for us, and we can know through direct experience so much right now that we weren't able to know as easily before. Say like 50 years ago or 100 years ago, yes, we could know it, but it took a whole bunch more time, energy, and focus and discipline for us to know it. Whereas now, it's a part of our being. It's a part of our expression.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. It's very cool. It's just wonderful. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So does anyone have any questions there? Everyone's being so quiet.
I know. Let me just ask if they do.
I'd love to answer some questions. There's got to be some questions.
There's always a question, but people might be in a state of relaxation because it is relaxing.
Oh, boy, and I haven't even done a guided process or brought the collective in to lead anything.
I know.
I don't know if we want to do that. We'll zone everybody out.
You know, it's just very reassuring to know that all is well. All is well. There's nothing
it's
to
always
fear.
Been well. I mean, that's the most amazing part. Even when in our perception it looks like everything's falling apart and blowing up and it looks like there's war and it looks like there's killings and it looks like there's, you know, explosions and natural disasters, it's still all is well. The state of source, the state of all that is all is well. So
right.
If we're experiencing major energy upheavals, whether it be in our personal life, the planetary life, the governmental life, the country life, whatever, somewhere that we're not living in or we're not privy to, there is the exact opposite of that to balance it out. Sublime peace, bliss, love.
Mm-hmm.
And everything exists in total balance, and everything is always perfect, and all is always well.
Yeah.
For Source, which we are Source. For Source, everything is an opportunity to experience. Source does not experience. Source has no capacity to judge. Source is a benevolent, loving force. Known as love force, and it's this force. It's a beautiful force, and Source does not judge. Source does not experience the duality that we're capable of experiencing in the dimensions that we're in. Source only experiences everything as blissful and good. So if that which we might say, oh, that's horrendous, you know, what a horrible experience. Oh, that's a violent, horrible Source. Enjoys it immensely and finds it completely as rewarding as someone being, you know, or an experience that we would say is a totally blissed out experience.
Yes, yes. It's just amazing, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it
it's
really
all,
is.
All is well, and it's all divine order.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always, and see, that's the thing. And where humans, I don't want to say mess up, but I guess I could say why they suffer is because humans forget where they are in the whole grand scheme of everything. That they're a slice of a huge carrot, and that everything else around them is also a slice of the same carrot. So humans forget that. They think that they're
separate.
They think that they need to protect themselves, and they think that the world is just something that's going on out there around them, and it's got nothing to do with them. Now, another thing that humans don't realize is that the world that they experience is 100% their creation. So therefore, you have 7 billion people on the planet Earth and 7 billion worlds created that are being lived in right now. Is there any wonder that we don't all agree?
Right.
We're not supposed to.
Right. Yes. That's the, that's the diversity.
That's the diversity. That's the diversity. And in actuality, you do have 7 million worlds. mm-hmm. each person, each entity, each individual expression of source, which is a more accurate way of putting it, has created their own world and lives in their own world. And all of the people that they experience in their world are different from the person who also knows those same people. And those mm-hmm. people may be in their world, but their experience of those people can be entirely different.
Right.
Entirely. Right. In your world, someone could be, oh, that's the Wicked Witch of the West. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And that same Wicked Witch of the West in someone else's world could be the Good Witch of the East.
mm-hmm. Right.
So, and you're saying, what do you mean that person's loving and kind and...
Yeah,
and if we can appreciate this, if we can appreciate the diversity, that the miracle of the diversity that is Source, it really leaves us in a place of awe, appreciation, wonder, curiosity, love, and enthusiasm for the process of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful way to end this, because we've come to the end of our program.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have to give everybody where they can find me, my URLs. I want to make sure I spell them, because they might not get them otherwise. And I definitely want everyone to come visit. So whoever's out there, come visit. I've got plenty of free things that you can get, download, and whatever beautiful things. As a matter of fact, on this website, moneyreikihealing.com, which is spelled MoneyReikiHealing.com. There's a beautiful golden light meditation. It's about 14 minutes long. It's beautiful. And it's actually of the golden light, the Christed light. And it's something that you can do every day to just align yourself with this energy, this frequency. It's beautiful, really beautiful. And so that's there. So I'd love for you to get that if you don't already have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other website, I actually have a blog too, and I'll give you that, but my other website that's got interesting goodies on it is the website of the collective. It's their home, and it's called The Call of Your Being, and that's thecallofyouribeing.com. And
mm-hmm.
on that website, you're going to find a lot of goodies. And there's a beautiful guided meditation that also begins with a little talk by the collective about this special year 2012, about why 2012 is the year of love, and then a beautiful guided meditation and process that actually brings you into the love frequency. Aligns you, or I should say, align, I don't know if align is the right word, align, attune you with that frequency, that vibration of love, and you actually are raised right into it, and you're vibrating right with it. And you really can experience it. They anchor it within you, the experience of it. And it's just absolutely beautiful. And that, too, is available for everybody to just go get and download. And that's on the blog at thecallofyourbeing.com. And then
I just didn't know that. I don't think I knew that you had that thecallofyourbeing.com before. So that might be, is that new within the last year?
No, it actually was begun. It was birthed in the beginning of, or the end of 2009, beginning of 2010. And the collective had wanted their own website. And
mm-hmm.
they basically, it's named after the Call of Your Being program.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a 3-recording program, and the Call of Your Being was something totally birthed out of the collective. The name of it was birthed out of the collective, and the collective, by the way, for those that don't know, is what I call non-physical source that flows through me, that I channel, that I interpret for.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's the aspect of source that flows through me. Everyone has an aspect of source that flows through them, and they can receive and translate for, everyone can do this. Anyway, that's how that evolved. And there's lots and lots of, they've done a lot of teleseminars and programs. And by the way, there's something next week that I'd love for people to check out that the collective are doing. I forgot about that. It's called Prosperity Words. the language and energy of prosperity. And it's all about the words, the vibration of the words and the energy that says I'm prosperous, that is prosperity in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a definite energy. And it's not even just the spoken words. It's also a way of being. It's a posture. It's a way that you hold yourself. It's a whole energy language as well as a spoken language. And people that are wanting to be prosperous, unfortunately, don't recognize what the prosperity language is and go around speaking the opposite of the prosperity
mm-hmm.
language unconsciously. They don't know it. So the whole purpose of this teleclass is to bring this language conscious, to teach people what this language is, to teach people what the words are, to teach people what the posturing and physicalness of prosperity is, and to make it conscious. So, and also to show them what the opposite is, the language of lack, the language of the opposite of prosperity, so that they can become aware and consciously make the choice for prosperity in every moment.
So
and
it's,
be empowered. So it's, yeah, it's really cool.
It's really called wordsmithing when you think about it. That's
yeah.
A great
oh, I forgot to give the
example.
URL. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me see if I can remember. I made a tiny URL, so it's easy. So let me see if I can remember it. tinyurl.com/regular/.
Okay.
I think it's prosperity words. I think that's what it is, prosperity words. But the good thing is, if anyone goes to thecallofyourbeing.com and you
yes.
look up at the top, there is a tab that says prosperity words, the language of prosperity. So click on that. So you can get to it. It's linked on the site. It's
okay,
not in one of the
great.
Sidebar buttons at this moment, but it's definitely in one of the top tabs. So yeah, because I'm not sure I remembered that tiny URL right. I should have looked at it before I got on, but I forgot. I totally
That's
forgot.
Okay. That's okay. We'll find it. And
yeah.
We appreciate your being here, Amy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I love being here with you, Kate, and I'm just so thrilled that you know I got to be here and celebrate and honor your anniversary and all the exciting things that are happening for you with your book. I mean, from last year this time to now,
oh my gosh,
all phenomenal growth, just night and day. It's just wonderful, just great.
Well, who knows what's going to happen the next year, right? It's so cool.
No, we don't. We don't.
No.
All we can do is just be present and show up and be, you know, bring the highest frequency self to every moment and just be present. That's it. That's what we're
yeah.
here for, to be present to the unfolding of life and to
yes.
experience it. Yeah. And just that's,
well,
when we do that, we're doing a great job.
yeah. And you keep, and having you on this hour, it helps us to remind us about all these wonderful things that are already happening. It's just a matter of tuning in.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, I loved being here with you, and I love being here with everybody listening, and just wonderful, wonderful energy I felt tonight, and I hope everybody is basking in that energy. I kind of sense
yes.
they are, and that
yes.
may be why we don't have a whole bunch of questions. They're just enjoying the energy.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just delicious. Yeah, it was just great. So thank you so much.
Thank
Kate.
You, my dear. It's just been lovely. And I am going to be playing music for Mother and Child by Klaus G. Jensen. And Amy, you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.